Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brian Hoyer has to come out. Undrafted out of Michigan State. He's Tom Brady's backup. But kid born in Cleveland, he had the dream. He wanted to be like Bernie Kosar, and he had the opportunity. Starter for his hometown team, the Browns. And he won 10 games in 2 years. But then he was bumped by Johnny Manziel Mania. Last we saw Manziel was a blonde wig in a casino in Las Vegas. Now we see Hoyer starting a playoff game for the Houston Texans.
I hate you, Tom. I hate everybody. I hate everybody who wants Johnny Manziel to have anything to do with the New England Patriots.
That's a reality check right there.
I hate you.
Okay?
I hate you. It is in a nutshell. That goes for everyone. Anyone who's listening right now that thinks Johnny Manziel to the Patriots is even a semblance of a good idea. I hate you. I want nothing. I hate you. I do. I have hate in my heart for you.
Beatles on Team Hoyer.
What? No, he's not.
Strange bedfellows. Brian Hoyer, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
You know what?
Because I'll tell you what, I got no love for him either.
I think
he blows.
I don't think Manziel would beat Hoyer out if they had a head-to-head competition.
I don't think he would either. Because I'll give Hoyer this. At least he's not a dummy. At least he's got intelligence. I don't know. He's not a very good quarterback, but at least he's not stupid. Oh, no. Don't do this to me, Patriots.
Let's bring a gunslinger and have him run your high-tech offense, which is totally structured.
You know what I feel like getting on the line today, too, to bitch at him? Where's Burt Breer, who for the last week has been poo-pooing any of the headlines about the Patriots? Oh, this is such ridiculousness. You see his tweets? What an idiot reporter.
Was he hiding now?
There's just area scouts there. Just area scouts. I got news for you. More than just area scouts now looking at Johnny Manziel for the Patriots, because once again, they were at Texas A&M's Pro Day.
Yeah, this is real.
Where Manziel was throwing again. And what did they do? They spoke to Johnny Manziel before and after he was out there throwing the football. Blah! Gross. Disgusting.
It scares me. It scares me because they brought Tim Tebow in. And if you're going to bring that guy in to play that position, a guy that actually can't throw. See, because Manziel can throw. I remember watching him in college. In the last 10 years, he's one of the best to ever come out at the position in college and play at a high level. But something ain't right there. Something's not right with the kid.
No, you think?
There's Tarika. That's Tarika. That was Tarika on the call, right? Last time we saw Johnny Manziel was with a blonde wig in a Las Vegas casino. Like, that happens with your tight end, but it's cute and funny because the tight end's trying to be funny. Manziel's trying to do it to hide because I have a problem and I need to be in Vegas on a bender.
But then he was bumped by Johnny Manziel Mania. Last we saw Manziel was a blonde wig in a casino in Las Vegas. Now we see Hoyer starting a playoff game for the Houston Texans.
Like Gronk crashed a bachelor party last weekend with an Irish wig on and a hat because he wanted to party and just have some fun. Johnny Manziel wants to go hide on the bender. And that's why he was in disguise. Gronkowski does it to be cute.
I just want to say this. The Patriots have shown more interest. This is a fact. I'm stating this as fact based on what has been reported and what we know. The Patriots have shown more interest in Johnny Manziel than any other team in the NFL. They pulled him aside for a weigh-in when no other team did that, reportedly, in San Diego. And then they were the only team to speak to him before and after he threw at Texas A&M, meaning representatives of your New England Patriots, my New England Patriots, have had more interaction with Johnny Manziel in the last week than any other NFL team. And that makes me want to hurl. I want them to have nothing to do with that guy. I will root for... It will bring me to root for Brian
Hoyer. You can't. You do... Oh. Okay.
I will be Team Hoyer.
Team number... Is he number two or number eight?
He's number two.
Number two here. Yeah.
Team Hoyer.
Hoyer would beat him out in a head-to-head competition. An even competition.
I mean, that's a tough last line of defense to be depending on Brian Hoyer to defend you against the... What is Johnny Manziel? Gross.
Well, what's the intrigue then? What's the intrigue then? Guy's been away from football. He's still out there.
Nobody's signing him.
Nobody's signing him.
Do you know what I really do believe that it is? I believe the Patriots have such a desire to get a good deal and feel like they outsmarted everybody else. This, I think, is an organizational philosophy. Head coach, front office, everybody involved. That when they look at Johnny Manziel, they say, first round pick. That guy had a high value on him coming out of college.
Oh, God. This is what you did last year. That's what I thought they're parting ways with, the stuff they did last year.
I can get a first.
Brandon Cooks, Gilmore, you name it.
I can pull a high talent player that other coaches haven't been able to maximize his talent, and I can get the first round value out of that player without giving up anything to get him.
Do you know he was at the AFC Championship game?
Now, why do you think they're accumulating all these first round picks this year? They think they're going to turn into what they were, you know, projected to be coming out of college. So, I can get a first round pick. I can give up nothing to get him. And there's also this ego involved of, those other teams couldn't figure it out with this guy, but we can.
We can
figure it out with Johnny.
Or he's just a guy that has talent at the quarterback position and that maybe has a future, and Brian Hoyer is not your future.
Nobody has said Brian Hoyer was your future.
No one ever.
I'm not saying that to you.
But Johnny Manziel could be the future. Maybe if they're thinking that. That's the only way that this flies in this city, right?
You know what?
If that was the reason, wouldn't you be okay with it? The talent part speaks to the first part of it, which is they look at him as a first-round talent that has not been maximized. So they would obviously have to believe that there is talent there. Yes.
Do they sit there and say...
So it's simple. Hoyer's not the future. Manziel could be the future.
Oh, God, don't
That's
know.
Why we're looking
He's
for it.
He's not the future.
You know Belichick.
He's not the...
You know Belichick. You know
He's
Belichick.
Not the future.
You know... Don't ever say future. You even bugged me. Okay,
don't say that.
I'm open to this because you have to be fair, right?
I quit Patriots anything.
You're going to do Patriots pre and post for 18 hours.
I'm out. If Johnny Manziel becomes the team's starting quarterback, I quit. I'm out.
Got that on.
I'm going to... You know where I'm going?
Good.
San Francisco. I'm going to San Fran.
What, you and Volo?
I'm
going to smoke cigarettes.
I'm going to root for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh, Jimmy, I need a cigarette.
I'm going to become a 49ers fan after a lifetime in New England.
Good.
I'm going to San Fran. And call me when it's done, when it's over. I'm not rooting for that guy. No way. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not doing this.
Why do you do this to me?
Not doing this.
Did I ask for this?
And by the way, when I say starter,
I mean, you can be 18 years of Brady, and now you're going to work this kid out.
Needs a qualifier. When he becomes the starter, not like, he became the backup here and started a game.
If they sign Manziel and don't draft a quarterback, that's a sign, right? Oh, my God. There's going to be a run on quarterbacks, and this is why they're doing it, because they know the guy we want's not going to be there when we really can take him. This is what's happening.
Gross.
Oh, my God.
Johnny Manziel.
What's he going to have? One of those massive kazoo helmets, too? The big silver Patriot helmet? You know how big his helmet was in college?
Because he's scrawny.
No, it's because he looks like kazoo. Got that weird head.
It would go in line with the recent signings of the Patriots, like trying
to
accumulate turds
in
the punch
bowl. Put him
in
there with Coney Ealy and all the rest of them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Branch, all of them, yeah.
No, I mean like guys you don't want to root for. Put him in this category. Put Johnny Manziel in that category. He sucks. No, thank you.
Then why are they interested?
Because
this promise was this part of the deal to lure McDaniels back? things were written in stone.
Because
now.
Your future head coach was dumb enough to draft Tim Tebow up high. That's why. 617-779-0985. That's the news on Manziel.
I can't believe he did this.
Thanks to the Boston Herald reporting that they talked to him before and after he threw yesterday at Texas A&M, a week after they were the only team to pull him aside and get a weigh-in on him.
Was it Chad O'Shea or McDaniels that did this, or was it a low-level scout?
The New England Patriots have had more interaction with that player than any other team in the league in the last week. Just a thought. There's something to it, and it disgusts me.
They got the inside track.
They got something. I don't know if that's a track they want to be on, but they are on it. Here's my other headline from yesterday. WTF happened at the league meetings yesterday. What happened there?
I don't know.
All kinds of juicy little things coming out of there, including a fight between the owner of the New York Giants and the head coach of the Patriots, and some rule changes that came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, which is going to completely change this game of football. And I don't like it.
So let's get to that and get into your Manziel calls as well. We'll do that coming up next.
Are they aliens? Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I quit.
You
can't Patriots quit. Anything.
You're going to do if, Patriots pre and post for 18 hours.
I'm out. If Johnny Manziel becomes the team's starting quarterback, I quit. I'm out.
Got that on.
I'm going to, you know where I'm going?
Good.
San Francisco. I'm going to San Fran.
What, you and Volley?
I'm
going to
smoke cigarettes.
I'm going to root for Jimmy Garoppolo.
If you're going to San Francisco,
I'm going to become a 49ers fan.
Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
I'm going to San Fran.
If you're going to San Francisco.
God, I love this song. Hey, look at what we're doing at 10:20. Opening day tomorrow for baseball. Bruins come back twice last night. Your gig guy's back. They're playing for first place tomorrow. We're talking to Brad Stevens today. And the hottest topic is Johnny freaking Manziel. Whether you're in or out, snip, snap, snip, snap. I care about this team, and I don't want it to be infected. I don't. I don't want to use car salesman at the most important position trying to tell you that everything's good and I'm fine. His agent even quit on him, and now he's back with him. It's a real good look you got going on there. Value.
Are you going to quit with me?
It's good for radio.
Commit to it, so come on. Say it. Manziel becomes a starter. You quit.
No, because he can throw.
Oh, you baby.
Johnny football!
It's expensive to live out there, Beetle.
Yeah, what are you going to do in San Francisco?
I've read a few stories about that recently.
But you don't need like air conditioning.
What
you
going to Alcatraz every day?
I'm going to have Jimmy. I'm going to have Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. What did you always tell me about year two? What have you always told me about year two?
I'm the front-running fan that I despise in this world.
You and Volan.
Mm. Why Volan? What do you keep bringing that up for?
Because Volan, every time Garoppolo throws a touchdown, Jim, tell him, Volan, oh, God, I need a cigarette.
Has Volan committed to quitting and moving to San Francisco?
I hope so. I'll drive him to the airport.
Leave him out of this.
That troll. God.
He's not happy with Belichick after yesterday.
I saw that. He's not happy with Bill.
Yeah. Get a shirt that fits.
And he gets treated like a pariah because of it, I'm sure. He tweeted, it's the same old dog and pony show for Belichick and the coach's breakfast.
Oh, like you thought it was going to be different flying down, Ben. Patriots. Give me a break.
Okay, he just said, same old dog and pony show. Yeah. It's the same as always. He didn't expect any different. He did say, though, that Patriots fans have real questions and deserve better answers from the coach, is what he says. We could talk about that at a different time. What I do want to talk about is what happened at the league meetings. Yesterday was a WTF kind of day at the league meetings, though. Does it feel like they passed some rule changes in a hasty fashion?
I think they lost their mind. Literally. Like we talked about this yesterday in the college game, how, you know, targeting, intentional targeting, where you could see that a safety has taken four steps, launches, ducks the head to intentionally hit a defenseless receiver. That is targeting, right? We know that. That's 15 yards in a college game, you're ejected. Why can't we do something like that at the next level? Now we get a term that any player that ducks his head? Is this offense or defense or strictly the defense?
Let me read it to you.
Okay.
Allow me to read aloud.
Allow me to tell you what it says. Since you curious minds inquiring... It says, if it is a foul, if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent, the penalty is a loss of 15 yards. That would mean loss of 15 yards on offense if a running back lowers his head to initiate contact with a defender.
See you, Devlin.
If the foul is by the defense, it is also an automatic first down. The player may be disqualified. So... there it is. That's what they passed.
Why don't you just take your helmet off?
You want to hear from some of the guys who were there covering the meetings talking about this? What do we have?
What do we got,
have
Jimmy?
Adam Schefter, do we not?
With your boy Sal Pal.
Oh, my man.
Nice. Love Sal.
Let's talk now about this rule that was just passed. Lowering the head to initiate contact with the helmet is a foul. What is the league trying to do here?
Look, the league is trying to make the game safer. It saw the hits last year. It saw helmet-to-helmet hits rise. In each of the last 3 years, concussions rise. Ryan Shazier hurt. The type of hit that there was on Davante Adams from Danny Trevathan. And the league is trying to legislate it so that the game is safer. It's trying to even...
Timeout. Did he just say Ryan Shazier?
Yes, he did. Wow, what was that? You okay?
That was a deep gurgle. I don't know where that came from. Sorry.
Wow.
I was talking, it just came up.
Because he.
So you mean to tell me
noodles over there?
So you mean to tell me, as you're bringing the meat wagon on the field to basically put Ryan Shazier on one of those stiff boards because he sadly hurt himself trying to attempt to make a tackle. Hey Ryan, sorry, but by the way, this yellow flag that we just threw, that's on you. So not only did you hurt yourself to the point where you may never play football, but we're throwing a penalty. It's a penalty on you, and it's 15 yards and a first down. Are you serious?
Yeah, he hurt himself, though. Shazier is a maniac who tackles with his head down all the time.
Okay.
But it's not a guy that, this hero that got hurt making a tackle.
No, that's a penalty. That's a penalty on him.
No, they don't want injuries. Hold on. Safety is about not getting guys injured.
I don't think they're talking specifically about that play being a penalty. They're saying they want to eliminate guys from leading with their head because they don't want to see things like Ryan Shazier's injury happen.
I know, but
Ryan Shazier is a guy who tackles in that fashion a lot. They don't want him doing that because they don't want Ryan Shazier to get hurt. They're not talking about flagging him.
But in the new NFL next year, if somebody duplicates that, you are now flagged and you got hurt.
That's the thing. You got to take away something. If you think you're going to hurt your team by tackling like that, you're not going to tackle like that, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. There's going to be a transition period.
Wow.
The part about running backs and offensive players lowering the helmet, at least you can say this about the league. It's consistent. If you're all about eliminating helmet-to-helmet hits.
I have a question.
I've seen nasty helmet-to-helmet hits that have been initiated by an offensive player. And those are just considered, those are part of the game. When you know there are times, and you will be able to see, and I don't think they're going to flag every single time helmet's hit, but when they see a player who intentionally throws that helmet into a guy to try and pick up an extra couple of yards, they're going to take that away from you. Do that.
But that's different. That's like a targeting thing. Do you know that the highly skilled corners in this league and safeties, do you know how they tackle? They do that duck tackle where they lead with the head and kind of cut your legs out. Is that a penalty now? Because you're leading with the head?
Well, they're leading with the head or they're leading with the shoulders. See, this is where...
Well, if you're ducking the head, you're putting it in the human... You're giving it to humans right now to make a quick decision on what they see.
So what do you got to do? Lead with your hands like you're walking around in a dark room and just, everything has to be hand contact first? I mean, at some point, it stops resembling football. And I understand the consistency angle of it, Beetle, because for the running backs especially, what was the rule about them being outside of the tackle box? And if you're away from...
Good luck
whatever,
trying to tackle Gronkowski.
Well,
Good luck trying to tackle him.
That's part of it. But I understand the consistency that Beetle was talking about. It's like, okay, if you can't do it in this part of the field, why should you be able to do it anywhere else? But to think that you're going to be able to differentiate a guy who is trying to tackle with his shoulder from a guy who is... they're going to say is leading with his head. How do you make that distinction in the spur of the moment? How do you know it's not either the defender or in this case an offensive player changing his direction just a little bit at the last second? You ended up making contact with your head first. Well, I wasn't trying to. I was trying to get my shoulder in there to tackle him. Doesn't matter. You led with the head. That's what hit him first. Now it's going to be a penalty.
So this is just strictly on this is not even a reviewable thing. This is going to be on referees to make and umpires and back judges to make a distinction as to whether or not in a fast-moving game where it is faster than ever and collisions, did the guy lead with his head or not? Because it looks to me like every time you make a tackle, you're always leading with the head.
Well,
you have to somewhat duck.
And as far as quarterbacks go, isn't every quarterback sneak leading with his head?
Yeah.
Can you not do that anymore?
That's not what they're looking at. They are looking to eliminate the helmet-to-helmet hits in order to blow a guy up and continue to try and gain yards if you're a running back.
They got to make it clear. Then.
It's not going to be a matter of the helmet touched first, so you're flagged. That's not what it's going to be.
I hope you're right.
Wouldn't it be better on offense if they said the ball carrier instead of just offensive player? Like, are they going to call it, like Zoe said, Devlin?
Yeah.
Like a fullback leading his way in the middle of the field.
Take it a step further. Leonard Fournette.
Just make it ball carrier.
Leonard Fournette on a toss sweep, and he lowers the boom.
Here's what Bert tweeted going back, I don't know, half hour or so. He said, there's more discussion on targeting this morning in the general session at the NFL meetings. The main point and emphasis to come out of it is using the helmet as a weapon is what the league is trying to eliminate. The NFL told the group there were about 5 to 10 plays last year in total that would have led to ejections. So they're talking about 5 to 10 plays that would lead to ejections. They're talking about using your helmet as a weapon is what they're talking about.
So Church's hit on Gronkowski, he would have been ejected.
Yes.
Yep. So there's only, you mean to tell me there's only 5
plays? So the targeting rule and the lowering the head rule are the same rule? Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't sound like they're the same rule.
It's going to happen.
But they're going to be in conjunction with one another. Is what
so lowering the head is a penalty, but if it's lowering the head and targeting, then that's where it's the ejection maybe? That's
right,
the...
and it's all about, again, using it as a weapon. If you are using it in a fashion that it could be conceived as being
and is
used for violence or to inflict injury.
And can the player you're hitting defend himself? Is he defenseless? I think that's where it's going
to
come into play.
Those training camp sessions when the referees come in and like show the video to the media are going to be really important this year because there's so many things.
Telling you what,
changed.
This preseason is going to be sloppy and it's going to get off to a slow start in the regular season.
All right, Artie has headlines. We'll get to your calls next. I promise.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins started the third period down 3-1 last night, but rallied to force overtime and eventually settled for a 5-4 shootout loss to the Jets in Winnipeg. Anton Khudobin was in net. That first Winnipeg goal, Anton, what was that a goal?
Wasn't. I'm pretty sure that wasn't in because my eyes was there and my glove was there. So I was pretty sure that I saved it. But there's, I don't know, so maybe better, I don't know. That's my opinion.
What's your opinion? That it wasn't a goal. Okay. The Bruins will be home tomorrow night to take on Tampa Bay. Zdeno Chara signed to a one-year contract extension today. The Celtics, meanwhile, still out west. Tonight they take on the Jazz in Utah. That is a 9:30 tip, so we'll get a pregame from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell starting at 9 o'clock tonight. Right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Nairobi at Cardi's Furniture. Enjoy Cardi's rattan and outdoor furniture collections with next-day eye delivery from Cardi's Furniture. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was told that Bill Belichick had strenuous exception to trying to enact it. One reason being that he said it's basically illegal. You know, you can't have a guy under contract to two teams at one time. So you can't agree to be the coach for one team when he's still drawing the paycheck from another. Additionally, he maintained in the meeting, you're going to be getting proprietary information from another organization. And he also, I think the upshot of it is, why should these teams, the teams that stay home in January, get to raid coaching staffs now? From what I understand, John Mara was on the other side of it from Belichick, and Belichick, from my understanding, was pretty heated. And undressed both him and, you know, Goodell, I understand, was trying to keep it civil and to draw out, okay, explain to me, for instance, or how do we, and Belichick just was not having it.
This is interesting on a lot of levels. That, which was just, what?
Okay? No, it sure is.
Oh, yeah. That was Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's actually down there covering these meetings. It's interesting for a lot of reasons. Number one, John Mara and Bill Belichick are very friendly.
Yeah.
Goes back to Bill's Giants days.
Yeah, but there's also a tweaking of the New England Patriots by the Giants and Mara, and this goes back to even the Brady suspension. Remember, like, they were in on the Berman stuff, and they're making sure it's going to go through, and they didn't come to your defense. As much as you talk so nicely about them, they beat you in two of the biggest games. Eli's got two rings. Bill, you know, Bill's affinity for the Giants and organization and respect for it. Yet, they like to zing you. He's not afraid to zing you.
So,
Mara.
Bill and Mara get into it in this meeting. Roger Goodell, of all people, tries to keep it civil and step in. And Bill, what, keeps going? Was having none of that.
Sit down.
And by all accounts, Bill and Roger get along. So this is not about personal hatred. I don't think it's that. I think it's just that he strongly believes that teams should not be able to come in and sign guys to head coaching deals and have that going on during a playoff run. Maybe that gives us some insight into why he never even wanted to have a conversation with Josh McDaniels.
That's
because just on principle, he thinks it's wrong that guys are doing that during a playoff run. He thinks it's wrong that you spend time on that. He doesn't like when coaches interview for other jobs during the playoffs. He obviously has a strong distaste for that. So just based on his own personal principles, he's out. He is not dealing with anything coaching related during a playoff run. He wants nothing to do with it. And I think that gives us some level of insight. But then to read up on this Josh McDaniels rule, which has been tabled because there was not a lot of support for it. Do you know what I thought was the most amazing part of that? Do you know who does not support the rule change?
The Colts?
Colts general manager Chris Ballard.
I've not spoken to Josh since he declined
and
to take our job, which is really good.
Listen to this. God. Ballard had the best answer going. He gave it to the Indy Star, Stephen Holder, who does a great job covering the Colts. He said, when you're a playoff team, you're trying to eliminate all the distractions that you can. And we're going to be a playoff team, and we're going to have these issues. It becomes a slippery slope. We have rules in place for a reason. I think they're good rules. It gives you a chance to interview, and then after the season, whatever happens, happens. In our case, he changed his mind, and we moved on. Wow. Talk about taking the high road, and not only that, saying, you know what, this could happen to us someday.
You know what?
Putting himself in another team's shoes, saying, well, I hope to be one of those teams that has this type of problem.
High-class problem.
That's what Robert Kraft would say. It's a classy problem to have.
High-class problem, right? I do give Ballard credit there, because it's something like Ryan Grigson wouldn't do. Ryan Grigson would be in full favor of this, and he would backdoor it with emails and little notes trying to take you down.
I know it was reported.
We can't do it on the field, but we're going to get you by the technical part of the rule. Yeah.
I know it was reported the other day that Ballard and McDaniels hadn't spoken since it all went down. Mm-hmm. Why is that a problem?
Why should he talk? Why should he go back to him?
Why would they be calling each other? Checking in?
I thought Ballard was crystal clear. He goes, I talked to Josh, and I said, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to try to beg you to take the job. I want to know, are you in or are you out? And he said he was out, and that's it. I wished him well, and we're done. We're moving on.
And they've all moved on.
You got enough time on. You don't have enough time on your hands to deal with. You happy you stayed, Josh? What's he going to ask him? You happy you stayed? Give me a break.
617-779-0985. Fred is in New Hampshire today. Hi, Fred.
Hello. Yes.
Yes.
I'm a retired mental health counselor. And I just wanted to briefly give you some thoughts of mine on Johnny football. I think if he is contracted in his contract to have him take part in his recovery from alcohol and bipolar disorder issues, he could bring some teachable moments to the sports world and the world about recovery. He'd obviously have to be checked out as any player is. But there's a tradition in this town, including Bill Walton, of getting an injured guy. This is a similar disorders no one asks for, like a car accident.
Do you have chickens, Fred? Fred, I don't care about any of that, really. I care about can he play quarterback, and I'm not convinced he can.
And I don't think
he's a very good NFL quarterback.
I think most people would be on board with a second chance for him and a lot of guys. And the recovery aspect and the teachable moments, fine, great. But first and foremost, I'm with Beadle. Can he play?
Yeah,
I'm much more interested in whether or not he can be a serviceable member of the team, more so than I am what he can teach us all about, recovery and all that stuff. Because I don't think we need Johnny Manziel necessarily to be the example for that. I think we get a lot of examples of that in daily life. People who have, managed to get things straightened out, who have dealt with multiple issues like Manziel has.
Yeah.
Would it add to a great success story and a turnaround if he were able to do it? Yes. But more important than all that is, can he play? One goes along with the other for sure.
I mean, there's a streetball element to always know that, there's really no structure to him. You watch him when he was at Texas A&M. It's sort of that Doug Flutie, Brett Favre-esque type game that he brings to the table. And he's an improviser. That sort of doesn't go away. You either have that or you don't. But it's hard to run offenses that way at this level. Unless you're Michael freaking Vick and you can make everybody miss. And that's the intrigue with a guy like Lamar Jackson. See, I think Belichick looks at Cleveland as a dumpster pit. You're not good enough for me to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to, but we're going to give you all the cast-offs. We're going to do backdoor trades with you. We're going to give you Jamie Collins. We found Deion Lewis from you. he looks at it like probably, you know, maybe Manziel didn't get, maybe he didn't get a good chance there. Like he was drafted by a bad team, a bad situation, and had bad coaching. Can McDaniels coach him? Can McDaniels hone it? See, the only way I give any credence to this, to being a possibility, is they brought Tim Tebow in. A guy who couldn't play. Manziel can throw. Tebow can't. And it's the most important position. And it's going to be tough for any guy to fall as Brady. And I know Jim kept bringing up future and it drove you crazy in the first segment. What if this is like, wow.
Okay, so keep talking yourself into it.
I'm not talking myself into
it. Doesn't bother me.
I am not a Manziel guy. I'll put that out.
Sure sounds like you are.
Take that last 45 seconds. It sounds like you're selling the case for it.
Can you get that?
No.
Can you break that out?
I'm trying to make, like, why would they even be interested? Like, don't forget, the offensive coordinator who you brought back, who's going to go be a head coach, put a first-round grade on Tim Tebow and drafted him, and then brought him here.
Really, three reasons. He's got a great arm. Okay, no one's ever going to debate that. Johnny Manziel can chuck the football. That's the first one. Number two, he's a former first-round pick, and he can be had for a deal. That's what this all comes down to, and that intrigues them. And the fact that he has failed at the NFL level, that intrigues them as well, because they like the project. They like taking a crack at getting something out of a player that nobody else has. Why do you think Tim Tebow was here? Because they thought maybe they could crack the code and they could make him the NFL player that other teams and other coaches couldn't.
Look at him talking himself into Jim. I think he's back
me?
In. I think he's Team Johnny.
Me? I'm telling you why they would be into it.
Right.
I'm not into
That's
it at all. I find
you.
Him inherently unlikable. I didn't like him coming out before I knew that he was going to have substance abuse and mental health problems.
I think he's poison.
I don't. Those are way down the list for me, man. Those are not top of the list items for me. Top of the list item for me is I don't believe he can play in this league and be a good winning quarterback in this league. I don't buy it.
I'd rather have OBJ.
And on top of it, I find him unlikable.
I don't want OBJ, but I'd rather have OBJ over this guy. You know what I mean? Like, let's try and find a way to deal with that. At least that guy's got super high-end talent. You look at Johnny Manziel and say he's got super high-end talent. You look at him and say, project. Let's work with him. Why? Team's loaded again. I'm telling you, Brian Hoyer would beat him out in a head-to-head competition because of the structure of the offense.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number for you. You want to jump on board, in or out on Johnny Manziel. That's what we got going right now.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Yeah. Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Shotgun for Manziel. Here's Johnny. Bootlegs out to the left. Looking down the field. Going to throw one down for Benjamin. He's there. He's got it. And he's running in. Touchdown! Manziel under center from his own 40. Play action. Back to pass. Going to go long. He's got Benjamin out there. And he caught it. 10-5. Touchdown. They did it again. Just like last week. This time a little farther.
Six 617-779-0985. Vinny's in Revere. He's upset with my level of negativity today. Hi, Vinny.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I can't expect anything less than you guys, but, you know, out of respect. Here's the thing. I just feel like, why not love that little bit of an underdog story? I don't like Manziel. I'm going to come right out and say it.
Underdog.
I can't stand him. Well, think about it. The kid's a first-round pick. He gets in an NFL team. He becomes a complete bum. And then he tries to pick himself up, and then he gets another chance. Why wouldn't you want to see someone get a second chance and maybe make it? What if he cleaned his whole act up? What if he cleaned everything up and actually ended up winning a couple games and proved something? You wouldn't like that?
Nope, I wouldn't.
it's a reclamation project. This isn't the end. This isn't like rooting for Doug Flutie. You know, it's just like a good guy does everything the right way and has always been...
Do it for somebody else.
You know what I mean?
Great.
It's a redemption story. It's not an underdog story.
Right.
The guy's a rich kid from an oil baron family. Like,
he's a brat.
Give me a break. This kid's been handed everything.
These are the
life.
Type of guys you don't want to give second chances.
I mean, born with that kind of talent and just, you know, did everything to get in his own way.
You blew
give
it.
Give me a break.
Like, you blew it, bro. You had it
story
all.
Story of redemption. I can come up with better stories of redemption and hard work and comebacks in life than Johnny freaking Manziel.
underdog.
Please.
Boy, they're not doing it for the story. And Beetle, I disagree. They're not doing it because he was a former first-round pick reclamation project, and they love that, all that
you
stuff.
You don't think they like those things?
I'm not. That's not why they're going to do this. Okay, they would only do it if they think he has like enough talent to play quarterback in the NFL. That's the only reason they would do it.
Do you think they believe that Tim Tebow had enough talent to play quarterback in the NFL?
No.
If they think that...
No? They signed him and thought, oh, this guy doesn't have the talent to play in this league. That's why we're going
to
sign him?
We went to all the practices. We saw it. It just didn't look good.
Then
the games, it's just ugly. He couldn't even warm up against
the air. That's what I'm asking you about. I'm asking you about... So you're telling me the Patriots knew he couldn't play in the league and they signed him anyway?
I think they signed him to
bring
him in. They
always think the guys have the talent
to play. We'll give you a shot. If not, maybe he can run down under kicks or something or be a tight end.
Please.
I mean, whatever.
They didn't have him working special teams.
If there's somebody out there,
they had him playing quarterback.
If there's somebody else out there other than Johnny Manziel that they think is a better option for the team, they'll take him, even if he was a former seventh-round pick. Yeah. I don't think that's what it's about.
I think
it's the best option for the team because he can play, or they think he might have a chance to play, then that's what they'll do.
I think they could be following around just seeing. Let's see if there's a crack. You know, you went to the other workout. You went to this one. You talked to him before and after. Did you weigh him again? Did he gain any more weight? Did he lose any more weight? Waiting for him to slip. I don't know. They just think they're doing their due diligence on everybody. This year seems different than other
years.
That
could be it. You could be right.
You know what, guys? It's all hands on deck. And Josh, you're going to strictly study these kids and film. I want you to do nothing but lock yourself in a room and study all these prospects on film.
Maybe it's an attitude of we look at everybody, and when we do, we look at them better than anybody else. And that's why they've had more contact with Manziel than any other team.
Yeah.
Because they just do more work than every other team.
He's been out in the forefront throwing, too. I mean, he's been to two throwing sessions in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Brady was only 37 the last time this happened. He's 40 now, or 36, whatever he was. The last time this happened, they didn't have to get it right with Garoppolo. They have to get this decision right. There's the less margin for error. They need to do more work, right?
But to go back to yesterday's conversation, who's leading the charge on getting it right, or who's leading the charge on finding that next quarterback? Is it Bill Belichick?
It's Josh. I think Bill's concentrating on defense. Seems like he's defensive heavy on his workouts.
Because defense would be a short-term need.
Defense is your
quarterback
problem
is now a long-term need.
Your offense is okay. As long as the tight end's back, your offense is fine. Absolutely fine. Your defense is your issue. You need to fix that. You need to fix your defense. That's what's... You got smoked. 328. At least we could go back to Super Bowl 51 and talk about how good that day was. It wasn't good for half. I mean, kind of stunk. Man, this is one of the worst losses ever. This Eagles loss. It still sticks you. I mean, here we are. Johnny Manziel. We just did an hour on Johnny Manziel.
Right, Tom Brady threw 500 yards in the Super Bowl,
and
we're talking about Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, Brady's not working with the team. Work on his deal. He don't want to help anybody. Yeah, he just signed a backside tackle. Adrian Waddle makes $1.5 million. So that's a guy protecting Brady.
That's
a bargain.
$200,000
signing bonus. So that's nice. 1.7. Nice deal.
You upset about this?
I'm pissed. I've had it. Had it. Don't figure it out though. All right, Scar, we trust. Don't forget, Cannon's back. Cannon being back is big. It is. Can't believe you said that from 4 years ago. Remember what you thought of Marcus Cannon 4 years ago?
I didn't think that he would
be. Please come back. Please come back. Be healthy. He's played well, man. Played well prior to injury. They just need to figure it out on the other side. Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to step up. I don't know. I don't think it's Waddle. Something tells me it's not going to be Waddle.
The money might tell you that. You got nothing for a contract.
Yeah. Like, what was Dallas offering that made you come back? What did Dallas give you? A million?
$200,000 guaranteed or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And Bill the other day, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Just throw them all out there.
So right now, if you're giving a percentage, you know, there's a 50% chance, there's a 10% chance. What's the chance that when we get to training camp in July in Foxborough, Johnny Manziel is there?
I think it's in the teens. 10, 15%, somewhere in there. There's too many other guys out there that you could give reps to. You know, say it's this kid from, say you draft a kid in the third round, the La Letta kid from Richmond. Give him the reps. What do you want to give this kid reps for? Let's go put a wig on, go dance somewhere. Hey, how you doing?
Don't you think if they sign Manziel, they're not drafting a guy, though?
No, I don't think that.
Manziel could just stink. Like I said, Hoyer could beat him out. Now you're like, oh, God, why didn't we draft somebody?
Maybe more reps will be available because Brady's spending more time with the family.
You're taking shots at Brady now? Is that your deal now?
I'm just to curious. Be an annoying I want to see what happens. Aren't you curious if he's going to OTAs?
No, he'll be there for those.
I don't think he'll
skip.
You
think so?
Yeah. I don't think he'll be there for the workouts. I think he's going to work out at TB12.
Oh, because this guy's not in the building anymore, right?
Well, this guy's in the building for him, different. Just not for anybody else.
I think somebody else might be working out at TB12, too.
Why not be in the comforts of your own place?
Bands, they make me dance. Wouldn't that be something? If your two most important players are working out.
That's a far more interesting
on your property,
question, Jim. Does
but
Rob
not
Gronkowski
with the team.
Show up for OTAs?
Wouldn't that be a kick in the balls, huh? Those two guys are upstairs working out, but yet everybody else is down here grinding.
We will lead this 11 o'clock hour talking about the Boston Bruins, and they actually made a move this morning. No roster changes, but they made a move. We'll tell you what that is after these headlines with Hardy and get into the Bruins and their close one last night.